We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From Learfield, it's time for the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group, the K-State Superstore, and Kansas Land Tire. Now, with more than 45 combined years on the K-State Sports Network, here are your hosts, Wyatt Thompson and Stan Weber.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Wildcat Podcast. I'm voice of the Cats, Wyatt Thompson, joined by Stan Weber, longtime color analyst on the K-State Sports Network. Our program today is brought to you by BriggsAuto.com, by the K-State Superstore, and by Kansas Land Tire. Well, after two consecutive road trips, the Wildcats are home on Saturday for a big football game, and we'll talk about that on today's program. But first, we want to mention those two road victories. 2 weeks ago, K-State wins in Lawrence 30-20. And Stan Weber, not a lot of folks probably gave K-State much of a shot this past weekend in Lubbock, Texas, at Jones AT&T Stadium. They're up 17-7, down 35-24 in the fourth quarter. And when you get done with the day, it's a Wildcat overtime 42-35 win. That was a good one, wasn't it?
It was, Wyatt. Much needed, nicely earned. K-State winning for the third time in the last four times in Lubbock. That's a big deal. Beating Texas Tech six of the last seven times they played. All those things are significant. But when you look at this season, it's exactly what K-State needed. And Wyatt, if they didn't think it was going to happen, then they must not listen to our podcast last week or actually the broadcast.
I'm with you.
Because someone told me after the game that when Texas Tech was lining up for a field goal, that they had a 99% plus chance of winning that ball game. Things looked bad for K-State. Yet on the air, we were still talking about the probabilities and the challenges that were light ahead for Texas Tech in a field goal kicker that hadn't played all year long, trying to step up and make a big kick. It's not easy to do. We talked about how when I was injured and tried to bounce back after a couple of games missed, I didn't feel the same at all and didn't play well that first game back. So K-State was lucky enough that he missed the field goal. He went down and won the ball game. And Wyatt, winning road games is a big deal. To do that is something that a lot of teams around the country don't get done. And now we're looking for the eighth straight year. K-State has won at least two road games in a season. So congratulations. What we said last week on this podcast and much of the discussion we had before the game was that if K-State was able to beat KU, it didn't matter how it was done. It wasn't pretty. A lot of fans unhappy and saw a lot of red flags. But what we talked about was, I didn't think there's any correlation in what K-State would do against Texas Tech, that I thought they'd up their game. And if somehow they could win at Texas Tech, we might see K-State really bounce back and look like the team that so many K-State fans have been looking forward to. And, oh, by the way, even Bill Snyder has been looking forward to watching this year. Now, you don't have Jesse Ertz out there down after down in the mid part of this season. But still, I think with two road wins, Wyatt, coming back home to a big crowd, we may see a different K-State team, one that is very dangerous to teams like West Virginia, Oklahoma State, and Iowa State, the three remaining opponents.
Well, let's put it into its proper perspective. In checking with the media relations staff at Kansas State earlier this week, Ryan Lackey looked it up for me. It's the first time K-State has won back-to-back games on the road in the Big 12 since 2012, when they won in consecutive weeks at Iowa State and at West Virginia. So that was a huge win for Kansas State, and let's talk about how they did it. I think really what stands out for me looking back on the game, Stan, is the good start. As I mentioned earlier, K-State was up 17-7. That was somewhat significant, but they let that slip away, did not play well in the third quarter. Maybe the thing that kept them alive in a third quarter that was really and truly dominated by Tech was a pick six, of all things, by Duke Shelley. That was a monster play that kept K-State within striking distance.
It did, and when you evaluate the defense, Wyatt, you got to think about the whole totality. They give up 35 points, so you're not happy with that, and they give up over 400 yards passing. But with the pick six that you mentioned from Duke Shelley, do you realize that's a net 28 points that they gave up? It's not bad in college football today, especially against Texas Tech. And I chronicled how often K-State has been able to get over the hump since Bill Snyder has been back as the head coach of K-State against the Red Raiders, and a big formula has been interceptions at the right time, pick sixes. You know, K-State doesn't have that many pick sixes over the last 5 to 10 years, but it seems like you get one against Texas Tech so often. Remember Patrick Mahomes throwing one and DJ Reed snatching it up and running it back last year? The other thing you remember is good special teams, big-time kickoff returns. Well, we saw some of that again. Maybe not housing it, not a touchdown, but another big-time return for K-State gets them in great field position. And last year when K-State won in 2016 over Patrick Mahomes and the Texas Tech Red Raiders, we had Byron Pringle go 99 yards for a kickoff return. So it's not just how many yards Texas Tech gets. It's how what you do with your opportunities in special teams and defense. And you make a great point. Duke Shelley, 7 points there. A big net differential when you look at the end of the ballgame.
Stan, let's also talk about the obvious now. I waited on purpose to talk about this, but the quarterback play for Kansas State. Wildcats played for a fourth straight weekend without their number one starter in Jesse Ertz. For a second straight game, Alex Delton gets the start, but only plays in the first half. And for the second straight game, they turn it over to a redshirt freshman in Skylar Thompson, and they find a way to win. But the difference between the KU game and in this game is, I think Skylar just went and won this game. Is that fair to say it that way?
Well, yeah, big-time plays, and the offense did what they needed to. They finish off scoring the last 18 points of the game. K-State had a couple of touchdowns and a field goal in their last three possessions, so they really hit their stride with Skylar in there. After two possessions in the third quarter, they didn't have the ball very much. Five plays, no yards, no first downs, all of that. But it was a very nice comeback for the Wildcats, down by 11 points to come and win the ball game in the fourth quarter. It's hard to come back in the fourth quarter and win, especially from double digits. And Skylar Thompson did a great job. Dalton Schoen made some big plays. Byron Pringle had a big catch near the goal line. So it was very good work. But another thing that you mentioned here, the difference between the game at Texas Tech and Kansas, is the fact that both those quarterbacks upped their play. I thought Alex Delton looked much better in the first half than he did in the previous games. Mm-hmm. He really threw the ball well, and K-State got true balance in their offense, Wyatt. And they didn't run the ball just with quarterback run game. So if you think about half the plays passes, half the plays runs, that's something I think that Bill Snyder would be very happy about. It makes K-State even more dangerous. So Alex Delton got the Wildcats off to a quick start by bringing balance in the offense, throwing the ball very well, and then Skylar Thompson did the same thing in a winning fashion with the game on the line. Tons of pressure, because even when you score a touchdown, Wyatt, you got to go get that two-point conversion. And he did it, hitting a 54-yard pass to drive down there and then a beautiful two-point conversion. And, man, the drama was built up. Texas Tech called two different timeouts. K-State had to go to their third different two-point conversion play after the timeouts by Tech on the first two chances to line up, and finally hit it on a beautiful pass. So well executed by those guys. And who would have thought at this point in the season you'd say, oh, do you remember that big two-point conversion that got K-State over the hump when Skylar Thompson threw to Dalton Schoen? Everybody would say, if it was preseason, what are you talking about? 2 years from now? No, this year, 2017. Great execution by those young players who are upping their game, and very exciting to see the quarterback play improving. Like we so often see in Bill Snyder football, the quarterback's been given an opportunity to get on the field, up their game. And I think both Alex Delton and Skylar Thompson have absolutely done that here in the last couple of weeks. But well, Scott, are they going to get into a situation like the Royals? Are we going to just say, Alex, you play the first half, and Skylar, you know, you warm up out in the bullpen, stretch, get ready, and then at halftime, be ready to turn it on. I wonder if Skylar's just going to get into a mind of just, you know, not worry about what's going on in the first half like Wade Davis did as a reliever or something.
It certainly makes you wonder. I'm going to guess that Bill Snyder wouldn't necessarily want to do it that way, but it is what it
That's
is.
That's right.
I also have
they
to ask
played
you,
it out that way.
Yeah, they did. Have to ask you, too, about Byron Pringle and a couple of other guys real briefly here. I was looking at this today. Byron had a big game against Texas Tech Saturday. 6 catches, 95 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Don't look now, but all of a sudden over the last 4 games, he's got 14 receptions for just over 330 yards. He went through a really tough stretch there, but he's kind of back, isn't he?
Yeah, and if you extrapolate that 4 times 3, that'd be a 12-game season, and he'd be back where you thought he would be. So Byron Pringle was someone K-State counted on, and it really hurt the Wildcats offensively that he may have had 6 catches in the first 4 games or something like that. You know, very surprising. Obviously, the whole receiving corps got off to a slow start. Well, not really. After the first game, they lit up Central Arkansas with unbelievable deep passes. So we had to say, starting with the second game, we've seen struggles and drop passes and those kind of things. But now it seems like Byron Pringle's hitting his stride and turning it on, a little bit like last year where he was a much better player in the second half of 2016 than the first. Maybe we're seeing a repeat of that. You know, never too late to get going. And that's one of the things that Bill Snyder stresses so much. A guy like Byron Pringle could be worried about his year-long numbers. They're never going to be what he expected them to be, Wyatt. Not with that slow first half of the season. But Coach Snyder convinces the players, don't worry about what's happened in the past or what your annual numbers look like. Let's just start playing right now. And that's what took a 3-3 team in 2016 on a run, Wyatt, that they won 6 of their last 7 games. So it can happen only if you just race the pass and get to work. And I think Bill Snyder may be creating a little bit of that magic again because Byron Pringle's playing like the player we thought he would be.
Also have to ask you defensively about Reggie Walker. I was looking at his numbers in this little streak on the road. How about these numbers? At Kansas, he had 5 tackles, a sack, and 2 tackles for loss. And then in Lubbock, 7 tackles, 5 of which were solo with a sack, 2 tackles for loss, and 2 quarterback hurries. Pretty good numbers for Reggie Walker.
Yeah, picking up the pace a little bit, and somewhat the same story of what we would think of the Byron Pringle. Coming into this season, there were a few guys like those two players we're talking about that I expected to take a big step up from what they did last year. And in fact, they didn't take a big step up. They just either took a little step back or stayed the same. Now we're seeing that improvement level. So it's good to see. It's something that I counted on going into the year, and it's happening later, but like we just talked about, later's better than never. And it's just part of a progression, I hope, because Reggie Walker, he's only a sophomore. I mean, he started last year as a freshman, did a lot of great things, and it helps when Willis is on the other side of the line, obviously. A little more pressure this year and a little more attention from tight ends, running backs, and linemen to block Reggie Walker. But Wyatt, I expect him to be better and better as he moves through what is still a very young time in his career, only a sophomore. But K-State needs more of that disruption that we saw against Texas Tech from Reggie Walker.
The other guy I'll ask you about real briefly here is Bronson Massey. A lot of people kind of forgot about this young freshman, redshirt freshman defensive end, but not the Wildcat coaching staff. When Kyle Ball couldn't go, he was in there, and boy, did he play well.
Yeah, there's one specific play, Wyatt. You remember them trying to get around the right side, which is the K-State left defensive side. And it was much of basically a sweep-type play inside of the wide receiver who is blocking near the boundary. And there's a little gap in there where the linebackers are going to really struggle to get there without the running back gaining 7, 8, 10 yards. So the safety, linebackers, everyone's scrambling. And Bronson Massey ran down the line, squeezed the play enough, and basically made the tackle to the line of scrimmage. Now, his momentum was such, and he rolled the guy up, that he gained 2 or 3 yards just because the player was lucky that he hit Massey and then went to the ground. But what a great speed play. And it shows you the different type of styles that'll work. It was exciting to have him out there to give some of the other guys a rest. to give the opponent a different look and to show some speed. He has fresh legs. And I think it's a big story about K-State football that is often missed. There is a ton of work being done by the backups, preparing themselves to play. And it's so quiet, we don't get a chance to talk about them. You know, it'd be great, Wyatt, if we got a chance to, you know, go report once a week, not on just podcasts, but, you know, do it as well, talking about here's what we're seeing at practice today. And we want to talk about the backups and where they're coming. Well, you know, we never get that far because, heck, there's 22-plus starters to focus in on and not enough time to give them their due. So it's nice to see and let the fans know that there are stories like Bronson Massey just going out and working so hard. Look at Dalton Schoen. We could have done a story about him last year.
Sure.
He said, do you realize how well Dalton Schoen is playing behind the scenes? And everyone said, well, he's a walk-on. He doesn't ever get on the field. He's been around a while. Why would we talk about him? And I would say, if you saw his development throughout the season in 2016, you may start counting on this guy in the future. I don't know if it's the near future or sometime before he graduates, but you better watch what he's doing. Well, we didn't talk about that. We don't have time to do it. But I think Massey, Dalton Schoen, guys like that are examples that, you know, you and I, Wyatt, are getting – we're lucky enough to know the inside of K-State football and are tracking these young guys. And it's a lot of fun to see their development get shown to the world. Bronson Massey thrown out there in week 9, hadn't hardly played a down this year, and there he is against Texas Tech in a critical game that goes to overtime, and he's making plays. I'm happy for him, and congratulations for all of his hard work to be ready when he got his chance.
We remind you the Wildcat Podcast weekly is brought to you by BriggsAuto.com, where they never match prices, they always beat them. BriggsAuto.com, longtime partner of K-State Athletics. By the K-State Superstore, customize your game day experience by shopping online at kstatesuperstore.com. K-State Superstore, official retailers of K-State Athletics. Kansas Land Tire, from the freeway to the field and everywhere in between, Wildcat fans trust the friendly folks at Kansas Land Tire and Service for all their tire and auto service needs. Visit thetirestore.com for the Kansas Land Tire near you. Well, what happens when you go out in back-to-back weeks and win on the road? Well, you get to come home. But you have to face a guy who's thrown 30 touchdown passes in Will Grier in West Virginia. They've got a pretty good offensive football team, don't they?
They do. It's a heck of a challenge, Wyatt, and that's the Big 12 this year. I look at the future schedule starting 3 or 4 weeks ago. I started looking, and if this were an NFL-type schedule, I said these games would be interesting and competitive all over the board. Iowa State, you think about how exciting their season has been, how they've done such some fantastic things, and then you see them on the road at West Virginia, and we spoke about this last week at the podcast. Hey, what do you think about that game? I said, well, I don't see any reason why it's not going to be super competitive.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised at all if West Virginia won. These are just two even teams, and the Cyclones are on the road. Why not West Virginia fighting and winning a game? Well, they did. So all the things we could say so strongly and with conviction about Iowa State and how good a football team they are, West Virginia just beat them. So here we go. West Virginia is coming into town. And I think there's no other team in the Big 12 that has more of a mentality that just line up and play. We're willing to give our best. We're not going to get nervous about losing because no loss is going to blow our season. We're not intimidated by anybody. And I think that's West Virginia. Dana Holgorsen has always played a very rough non-conference schedule. How about playing Virginia Tech in the first game, Wyatt?
Right.
It was like an NFL game. Super close. And they lost the game to Virginia Tech. Well, a lot of teams would be damaged by that. You only play 12 games in college football. These are 20-year-old kids. I don't think West Virginia's wired that way. They just go out and play. And they play a ton of close games. They win them. They lose them. But they just keep battling and never give up. You can say, well, Oklahoma goes out and wins games. I understand that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a team that's not considered a national power like West Virginia that is not intimidated to play anybody, anywhere, and it's likely to be a close game, and they just fight all the way through. And Will Grier has been that kind of player. The West Virginia team is that way. If they would have lost to Iowa State, I would not be downgrading them and say, oh, they're not going to be quite as good or won't have the momentum coming to Manhattan. I would erase that away, Wyatt, and say, no, that doesn't matter with West Virginia. They're just going to line back up and get ready to play. They play hard games every week. Normally they're close. They're physical. They're very good on defense. They got a quarterback who can fling it around. A running back who can really hurt you, but they're not a dominant team. They're not just going to, you know, step out there and wipe out the Wildcats. They know it's going to be a 60-minute affair, and these games have been a lot of fun. K-State versus West Virginia, they put on some great football games at either site. Fortunately, K-State's won each of the times since they've been Big 12 members together. Each of the times they've come to Manhattan, K-State has won, and I don't know of a more impressive game than a 2015 win, Wyatt. That 2015 team was struggling at quarterback. I mean, they had a wide receiver at times playing quarterback. You remember that?
I do.
And here comes West Virginia. West Virginia was good and solid, and K-State's 2015 somehow got together with the home crowd behind them on senior day and played as solid a game as they played all year, controlled the game, and beat West Virginia. And I just hope K-State can recreate that magic that they got in 2015. It's going to be an all-day affair, but this football team in 2017 has a chance to become bowl eligible and really start striving to be what they thought they would be at the beginning of the year with a win over West Virginia. It's not going to be easy, but I hope they have the same determination that they had in 2015, because that was a heck of a show the Cats put on. Last year, West Virginia shouldn't have won against K-State. The Wildcats were ahead 16-3, should have won the ball game, let that one slip away. That was a West Virginia team that ends up winning 10 games, Wyatt, 10-3. So I have the utmost respect for what those guys are doing, how they're playing. I know it's going to be a battle, but I said all along, if K-State could somehow win at Kansas and Texas Tech, they're going to be ready, and they're going to be tough to beat when West Virginia rolls into town on Saturday.
Oh, without a doubt. It really is an interesting team, too. I really think this is a football team that you've got to give them some credit with their defense, because they lost a lot of guys from last year, played Saturday without three starters, and still had a 20-0 lead and beat a real good Iowa State team 20-16. Tony Gibson does as good a job as most, if not better than anybody in our conference as defensive coordinator. He's a good one.
Yeah, and I'll go with the latter part of your statement there. Tony Gibson, I think, is the best defensive coordinator in the Big 12 right now. He has a unique system that gives him, you know, some advantage when you do things differently than others, that 3-3 stack and the way they can bring things. But they put the utmost pressure on your team. They can bring guys to the line of scrimmage and stuff the run. You remember when Jake Waters on a Thursday night had to throw almost every down, in case they had only one rushing yard. Fortunately, they had Tyler Lockett and won the game. Great adaptability by Bill Snyder's team, but they just dictated that K-State was not going to run the football and have to throw on that cold night, and K-State was able to do it. They also can quickly, with that 3-3, drop back and get into pass coverage, and it's a unique pass defense that they run. It's not a simple read. There's nothing easy about it, and he's got players that believe in it, and they're athletic, and so they come from a lot of different directions. So Tony Gibson, the best defensive coordinator in the Big 12, will be, you know, hard to figure out. But fortunately, K-State's style can also create some issues right back at West Virginia. You know, they don't necessarily like going against the running scheme that K-State brings. And then the Wildcats can pressure you enough in the run and make a play look like a run and then throw the football. We saw that against Texas Tech. K-State's offense this week, as we get ready, Wyatt, will be more scary to Tony Gibson and Dana Holgorsen and the West Virginia coaching staff than maybe even 2 or 3 weeks ago. Because K-State wasn't hitting the passing game the way they did against Texas Tech. They've opened up a new aspect of their football team, kind of normal Bill Snyder stuff, but you got to wait till these quarterbacks develop and are ready to handle it. And it looks to me like the two guys that are out there can handle it. And we know Jesse Ertz, if he's out there, can definitely handle the full range of K-State football.
All right, let's talk about a couple of other games in the league real briefly here. If you look at the conference standings, Oklahoma is 5-1. TCU is 5-1. Those two teams will play Saturday night in Norman. It's number 8 against number 5, defense against offense. Do you give a slight edge to OU here, or how do you see that one playing out?
Well, unfortunately for old Baker Mayfield, the Oklahoma Sooners are playing at home, because you know when they're on the road, they always win.
Truly. Seems like it, doesn't
Baker,
it?
Man?
Yeah, he's
unbelievable. I don't
think
he's lost on the road since he's been the Oklahoma quarterback. I think he's won every road game. In the Big 12 conference, at least, you know, that loss to Iowa State was at home.
Yeah.
So you can't just go, oh, the home field advantage is going to be the thing. Then we look at a coach. How about this? Gary Patterson's record on the road in Big 12 conference play is better than at home in his tenure. So I think it's pretty easy to say TCU is not going to be intimidated. They're going to come to play. They play a unique style of defense. This one should be close, Wyatt. I think if Baker Mayfield, though, wills his team the way he has, then I give a slight edge to Oklahoma, because they coulda, shoulda lost to K-State, and he just refused to let it happen. Against OSU, how can you look any other place than at the quarterback position to find the difference in that game?
It's incredible.
You know, OSU moved the ball up and down. We were seeing record-breaking numbers all over the place. And Baker Mayfield just says, it's not ending. I'm not getting tired of this. And you go, can you do it another drive and another and another? And he ends up throwing for more yards than's ever been thrown by OU quarterback in history. And they needed every one of those yards to beat OSU. It's been pretty incredible. I don't know if I've seen someone who has so much pressure on them take the pressure on, heighten it with social media comments or whatever.
Truly.
And just walk out there. Talk trash when he's walking out of the locker room. I mean, whatever. He just brings more pressure on himself, and he delivers. And he sure enough did it at Ohio State. What he did against K-State in the second half was amazing, and what he did against OSU. So I wonder about TCU's firepower. You know, they got bogged down a little bit and didn't give them much room for error. I think that's the story of TCU. If they make a few mistakes, their offense isn't lethal enough to overcome it. I think that's why they lost against Iowa State. I think if they went to Iowa State and played again, TCU would win the game, but they didn't. Credit Iowa State. But also, it just shows us that TCU needs to play really well when they get in the red zone, and Hill needs to make really nice plays and cut out the mistakes. And I think Oklahoma will put enough pressure on the TCU football team that they'll make a couple of mistakes, and it just is up to Baker Mayfield. If he plays like he has, I don't know how TCU beats him. I'm not sure how many teams beat him, because he just ramps it up to whatever he needs. Will he play that perfect every game? I don't know. Why would I keep wanting to say no? That's not real.
But he still does.
People have, yeah. We have average games sometimes, don't we? I mean, but hey, if Baker plays like he has, they win. If he doesn't play, if he has a down week at all, and that still can be, you know, a lot of yards and a lot of completions, but he throws a pick six here and there or something like that, TCU will be there. No one likes defending the passing game more than Gary Patterson. He told me all about his theory. I mean, this is 10 years ago, Wyatt. It's like basketball on turf, Stan. You know, we build triangles around these guys, and you know, it's just like a half court trap. And you know, it's the funniest, awesome thing ever heard. He really believes that he can get his arms around the passing game, and he was really the first team. I think he might have been the first team to ever beat Bob Stoops in Norman. You know, Bob only lost 9 home games ever.
Right.
I believe the first one might have been against TCU, or at least it was the first non-conference, but it's a big one. Of the 9 that they had there, it was a big surprise, and that's before they were part of the Big 12 Conference. So TCU and Oklahoma match up well when it's OU's offense against TCU's defense. That's worth the price of admission watching that battle.
No doubt. And then finally, the bounce back bowl, I will call it. Jack Trice Stadium in Ames, Oklahoma State losing this last weekend at home to Oklahoma against Iowa State, who lost in Morgantown. I am really intrigued by this one. How do you see this one?
Yeah, it's the psychological aspect of this is so key. Iowa State's been living a dream, floating on the clouds. What happens? Do they get demoralized by losing to West Virginia? Do they really think of themselves as a possible top 10 team, a Big 12 champion? If so, this might be damaging. If they just sit back and say, who at Iowa State would be disappointed with their resume at this point? Forget who they played last week. And you got a chance to compete and beat Oklahoma State at home, how excited should you be? Will Iowa State be able to find that level? If there's any disappointment in Iowa State's mindset, then I think it's going to be dangerous for them. I think Oklahoma State is going to be very dangerous at Iowa State. And I think they're more used to bouncing back than Iowa State is.
I agree.
Mike Gundy's just done a fabulous job of being able to say, you punch us in the gut, does that have any effect on us next week? No. And I think OSU is the better team slightly. So I would expect Oklahoma State to be more likely to bounce back against Iowa State. But the Cyclones are good. They're at home. How will they handle it? Another tough game. But the last time they had a tough game that I thought was very equal, it was, and they found a way to win. So I would give a slight edge to OSU. If you made me pick, I think OSU is in a little better position this week going into the game than Iowa State is, and OSU is a slightly better team. Even though they're on the road, I think that they'll regroup pretty well.
Texas Tech will play Baylor in Arlington. The other game in the league will be Kansas at Texas, a 5 o'clock game in Austin on Saturday. Of course, our coverage on the K-State Sports Network begins at 12:30 as the Wildcats play host to the Mountaineers on Saturday for Fort Riley Day. That's going to wrap up the Wildcat podcast for this week. As always, brought to you by BriggsAuto.com, by the K-State Superstore, and by Kansas Land Tire. For Stan Weber, I'm Wyatt Thompson. Thanks for listening to the Wildcat Podcast.
This has been the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group, the K-State Superstore, and Kansas Land Tire. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.